My Body When It Is With Your Body by North of All Music, read by X-Manator. The mirror is not for vanity. To present oneself neatly is a necessity, and although it would be proper to allow others to help with the business of dressing, of arranging one's hair, Lan Wangji has always felt a deep distaste at the idea. He has felt a deep distaste at the idea of being touched in that way, practical and perfunctory. It is what people expect him, often, to prefer. But it scrapes some part of him bloody to tolerate it. Touch without warmth. And so, the mirror. It is not for vanity, although he is vain, recognizes this in himself and accepts it with equanimity. It is a practical object, and it is in keeping with the lines and proportions of the room. Harmonious, because at the time he acquired it, harmony had still seemed to be a thing to which he should aspire in all areas of his life, although he had never been good at it, had always been made of a variety of excesses. Even obedience can be an expression of excess feeling if applied correctly. Stubbornness, a selective refusal to understand nuance. The performance of rigidity rendered him brittle, but did not make him smaller. The mirror. The room is warmer in reverse, bronzed. Lan Wangji's robes become a different kind of luminous. Wei Ying, pressed back against them, is soft-edged. The afternoon light wavers gently across that impression of him, his bare skin, his parted lips. It is a good picture. Lan Wangji never could stand to be touched with cool practicality. Wei Ying burns against him, against his shins and thighs, through four layers of robes. All of them on Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji curls his hand into Wei Ying's hair, fingers pressing in under the ribbon that holds his hair tied back. Wei Ying shudders.
Watch, Lan Wangji says. Eyes open. You said you wanted to know.
To know how you see me, Lan Chan. Aren't you lucky getting to look at this pretty wife of yours as much as you like?
Even with the mirror shifting the colors, Wei Ying's reflected face is visibly flushed. His lashes flutter, struggling to obey or to disobey. He looks at himself with a half-lidded gaze, tips his head back into Lan Wangji's grip, meets Lan Wangji's eyes in the polished bronze mirror world. Lan Wangji pushes him forward, from kneeling up to folded down, close to the ground. His posture is nearly proper, but his knees are parted. His ass is close to Lan Wangji's right foot, and it is such a simple thing to press Wei Ying forward just so, angling his body, to tip his foot back onto its heel, to press his toes up into the hot, sweat-damp space behind Wei Ying's balls, to exert pressure.
Fuck, Wei Ying says, the words sliding off his tongue half-formed.
Watch yourself, not me,
Lan Wangji tells him, false reproach. He presses his foot up more firmly. Wei Ying whines. The sound stutters. Wei Ying always gets very wet, cock pulsing clear liquid at no more provocation than a glance. He says he never used to.
I don't know if it's this body or if it's just you, but I never, not like...
It trickles slowly down the underside of his cock. It will be turning his pubic hair sticky. Lan Wangji likes to bury his face there when Wei Ying has been aroused for a very long time, has been leaking all over himself for the space of an afternoon, perhaps. Likes the smear of it across his cheek, the thick smell of it in his nose. The way the smell will linger after, for hours, all through a night sometimes, and into the morning that follows. Likes Wei Ying's balls against his tongue as Wei Ying laughs or sobs or tells him he's good, or tells him he's just so weird. My weird husband, that's so gross. In that tone of voice, which means he likes it too. Oh, he's so beautiful. Bowed and panting, neck exposed where Lan Wangji has twisted his hair up in a way, ready for a bite or a kiss or a brutal grip. Lan Wangji keeps him there. Watches his back, how it bends and strains. Watches in the mirror the desperate flickering shift of his expressions. One of his hands is clenched against his thigh. The nails of the other dig into the mat beneath them. He pushes back against Lan Wangji's foot, chasing that pressure, looking for something harsh. For the press of toenails, perhaps, into tender skin. Lan Wangji keeps him there, squirming.
Keeps him there until he looks like he really can't stand it, the watching without doing. Stillness is difficult for Wei Ying. He is good at meditation, but his meditation is done in motion when it can be.
Please,
Wei Ying says. Lan Wangji yanks him up by the hair. A cue, not truly brutal. Silent commands are so viscerally satisfying to Lan Wangji. To be understood. Wei Ying scrambles to follow his direction. His legs are shaky. His knees carry rows of marks from the woven texture of the floor mat. Lan Wangji inspects them in the mirror. There is a cluster of red indents on Wei Ying's thigh, a small constellation where he is clutched at himself. The bruising across his hips, residual from a very good night the week before, is visible under Lan Wangji's hand if he looks down. But in the surface of the mirror, the mottled yellow is too faint to be more than a vague impression. Lan Wangji does not paint often, because he is only acceptably good at it, because it is not a medium where he can transcend harmonious competence into profound expression. But someone with a greater talent could show the wash of faded color beautifully on silk. He tucks Wei Ying against him, wraps an arm around his waist, and feels the fluttering of the muscles in his stomach. The lace of his open sleeve swings across Wei Ying's skin. Wei Ying writhes, gasping at the ghost touch of it across his cock. A certain level of protection against stains is woven into all of his robes, but he thinks sometimes he would not mind ruining them. He would not mind ruining them and then wearing them anyway. There is a possessive part of him which would live inside Wei Ying if it could, which would press the evidence of Wei Ying's pleasure against its skin and keep it there. That hates to let either of them bathe after sex, although other parts of him are fastidious. Wei Ying's cock behind sheer lace, the half-seen space between his thighs. Ah. Touch your nipples, Lan Wangji murmurs into Wei Ying's ear, and Wei Ying makes another gorgeous choked noise, tips his head back against Lan Wangji's shoulder. Now, Lan Wangji prompts, pinches at Wei Ying's side, a quick, sharp reminder. They pretend, like this, that Wei Ying doesn't hear the shake in Lan Wangji's voice, doesn't know that Lan Wangji is forever one step from overwhelmed by the reality of Wei Ying in his arms. He knows, but to leave it unsaid is both a thrill and a kindness. Wei Ying, bold in touching himself for Lan Wangji's gaze, is curiously tentative under his own. A light brush of fingertips. His lip dense, teeth worrying at it out of sight. His stomach jumps, and that shifts the lace against his cock, and his thighs, his face is burning. Is that all? Lan Wangji asks, strokes the place he pinched, not to soothe, but to prompt. Another silent command. The clench of Wei Ying's fingers on his chest seems to be a half-reflexive response, a shock even to him. His nipple is full and dark between thumb and forefinger. The nail of his thumb digs in under the edge of it, draws the skin tight. This is correct. This is closer to what Lan Wangji would do. This is closer to the way Wei Ying would look under Lan Wangji's hand, although he has rarely been so wild from so little.
Truly shameless, Lan Wangji tells him.
Fuck, fuck,
Wei Ying gasps. He doesn't let go. His head twists sideways, thuds back into place against Lan Wangji's shoulder as he remembers that he has to watch.
Too much. You're impossible. I can't.
Lan Wangji, careful to arrange his sleeve, slides his palm across Wei Ying's hip, the skin below his navel with its sparse hair, the coarse nest of his pubes, wet. He keeps lace hanging between them. His palm against Wei Ying's cock, flat pressure, concealing for a moment as he digs his fingertips into Wei Ying's balls, presses the heel of his palm down heavily against the shaft of Wei Ying's cock. It pulses, pulses. Liquid gathers against Lan Wangji's wrist, trickles down the side of his hand.
Oh, he asks. Wei Ying is breathing in loud gasps. Then by all means, you are welcome to cover yourself. Time spent on meditation might.
Wei Ying's laughter is thready, near hysterical.
Nobody believes me, he gasps. You're awful, you think you're funny. Meditation, Lan Chan.
Lan Wangji smiles into Wei Ying's hair, a secret tug of his lips, a slow blink. He flexes his hand. He digs his fingers in harder. He watches, sidelong, the way Weiying pushes up into it so hard that his heels leave the floor, his weight tipped back into Lan Wangji's chest and down into the balls of his feet. Weiying is touching himself properly now, tugging at his nipples, flicking fingers across them. He looks mortified. He looks transfixed. He is breathing so hard.
You see why I never wish to look away,
Lan Wangji murmurs. He flicks his sleeve neatly aside, reveals Weiying's cock again to both of them, flushed and messy. He frames it with his fingers, enjoying the contrast, pale against blood dark, against curling black hair. He enjoys again the contrast of their persons, bare and concealed, still and writhing. His skin feels strange and tight under his robes, not only the prickling of neglected arousal which often sits between his legs, which he is so very used to living with, but a whole body thing. Every part of his skin that is impressed to Weiying's yearns. A good discomfort, sharpening him, making him into a thing which can give Weiying whatever he needs. A thing which can be satisfied by nothing less. He brushes his fingertips against the base of Weiying's cock, feels the shivery little movement of Weiying's hips as he chases contact. Teasing me, Weiying says. Even his voice is shivery. The truth is that Lan Wangji rarely sets out to tease when they begin, and often does so anyway. It is a product of wanting too many things at once, of indecision. He is thinking about his mouth on Weiying's cock, his face buried between the cheeks of Weiying's ass. Is thinking of sliding inside Weiying, with his fingers, with his cock, with his entire hand. He has done all of these things before and will again. Will have the chance to do everything, everything. Will not allow the world to take that from them. And still, he wants all of it at once. But he thinks, perhaps today, he will not undress. Weiying will look at himself. Lan Wangji's body will be secondary. He will let his own skin keep wanting. He curls his hand loosely, strokes slow over burning skin. The shift of Weiying's foreskin, the slickness of his precum, the beat of his pulse. How much can you endure, Weiying? He asks, and it is softer, a small reprieve from play. It is more for his own benefit than for Weiying's. Weiying, who often prefers to claim he can endure none of what they do, who would have him please himself without asking openly how it is, has learned to allow him these moments, has learned to be able to articulate himself within them. All of Lan Wangji is for Weiying, and Lan Wangji must know he is using himself correctly. He loves the ways they speak in silence, yes, loves to command wordlessly, but sometimes also there must be words which are true. More, Weiying whispers. He looks away from his reflection, accepting the permission Lan Wangji has given him, uses this little space to turn his hot face into the cradle of Lan Wangji's shoulder, to mouth at his neck. More, sweetheart, plenty more. My good boy, I'm not even crying yet. I want to cry.
How much?
He asks again, holds out a hand and nudges Weiying until he looks at it. Weiying hums. He taps his forefinger across two of Lan Wangji's at once. Don't start too slow. Hesitates, trailing his fingers back and forth across Lan Wangji's palm, giving the question real consideration. Looks sidelong into the mirror, so that their gazes meet directly, for a moment. His forefinger settles decisively on Lan Wangji's wrist, drags slowly up, just a little way, across his forearm. A gentle pressure, skin and bones, veins and meridians, the whole way.
If you like, he says. Oh, Lan Wangji would like. He would always like. You will need something to brace yourself against then, Lan Wangji murmurs, if you are to manage to watch it all.
Just hands and knees, Weiying says. I can do it, promise.
Mark your words,
Lan Wangji tells him, turns Weiying in his arms to be able to kiss him, long and sweet until his spirit flutters in his chest. Weiying smiles up at him. He's shorter than Lan Wangji, but not by such a margin that he would usually need to tip his head back. It's only that he's half slumped in Lan Wangji's arms, letting Lan Wangji take his weight, playful and loose-limbed.
First, Lan Wangji tells him, turning him again, you will make yourself come. Stand properly. Stroke yourself.
Wei Ying does, swaying only slightly, so that Lan Wangji can step away for long enough to throw a soft old blanket onto the floor in front of him, now that they have committed fully to this thing. The lubricant they use comes as packets of powder and in jars already mixed to a slick paste, and although he enjoys making Wei Ying spit into the powder, making him mix it with his fingers, making him anticipate its use, a jar will serve them better today. He sets this, too, down on the floor. He checks his nails, despite knowing already that they are neat. He listens to the wet noise of Wei Ying stroking himself, the quiet hitch of his breath in time with it. It must be a very exposed feeling indeed for Wei Ying to stand so without Lan Wangji at his back, the kind of exposed which can become too much. Wei Ying sighs in quiet relief as Lan Wangji joins him again, and Lan Wangji kisses his shoulder like a greeting, strokes his fingertips over Wei Ying's hips, up and down, watches in the mirror how Wei Ying touches himself, the tightness of his fingers, the slow pace, watches how Wei Ying watches himself. He kisses Wei Ying's shoulder again and means, good boy. Strokes Wei Ying's stomach, brushes a thumb along the bottom of his rib cage. When he touches Wei Ying's nipples, Wei Ying makes a sharp, startled noise that spills into laughter, whines urgently as Lan Wangji tugs at one, still sensitive from his own rough treatment. If they were playing a slightly different game, Lan Wangji would take one in his mouth, would bite down until Wei Ying's hands were frantic on him. He flicks instead, twists lightly. He gives himself Wei Ying's neck to bite at, his shoulder, little nips that will fade quickly, blooming red and gone again. He breathes through his nose to avoid whimpering himself, the rock of Wei Ying's body against his, a beloved sort of torture. He is so hard, so hard.
Oh,
Wei Ying is saying, twisting his head to the side.
Oh, 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 Gaga, won't you?
No, Lan Wangji says.
It doesn't particularly matter what Wei Ying was going to say, not in that tone of voice.
Behave. If you cannot watch yourself like this, why should I give you more?
The ribbon in Wei Ying's hair looks good wrapped around Lan Wangji's fingers. Feels good to yank, the resistance satisfying, the twist of Wei Ying's hair and the tight loop of it beautiful.
Watch,
Lan Wangji tells him again and holds him in place, holds the ribbon pulled tight, holds Wei Ying's chin between his fingers, until Wei Ying's chest is heaving, until his skin is hot all over.
I,
Wei Ying gasps.
You, this is so...
You are seeing just how shameless you have always been,
Lan Wangji tells him, knowing that it will make him gasp again. Wei Ying, confessing in the dark.
I think about the way I acted when I'd just come back, the things I did to try and drive you away. When I saw myself from back before, through Qifeng Zun's eyes, I wanted to punch myself. So full of myself. But I'd want to punch the me who was like that to you as well if I saw him.
Quiet, odd laughter. Words meaning something slantwise to their actual shape. Wei Ying has done many things and regrets many things, Lan Wangji knows. Some of them remain raw wounds, easily infected as burns, and some of them can be games. To examine yourself. And so, the mirror. So, Wei Ying looking at himself, this version of himself in this new body which Lan Wangji loves as much as the other, because it is a home for Wei Ying, a good one, one that will be able to grow old. Looking at himself, naked against Lan Wangji's covered body, like an escalation of the things he said and did then to shock. He only ever shocked himself in this life. Lan Wangji loves him so.
Fuck, fuck,
Wei Ying cries, his words slurred, Lan Wangji's grip on his jaw hindering his speech, and he's coming, quick pulses, not so very hard but decidedly drawn out. He's good, he watches, takes Lan Wangji's thumb between his lips to ground himself through the waves of this release, bites at it, moans around it, makes a muffled, grateful noise when Lan Wangji gives him two fingers instead, lets him suck at them. The way his lashes flutter as he fights to keep watching through pleasure and embarrassment is captivating. The way Lan Wangji's fingers grow slick. The way Wei Ying's lips grow red and messy. Cum is streaked across Wei Ying's fingers. A little is smeared on one thigh. Some is landed on his foot. I wonder if I will come in my robes before we're done here, Lan Wangji wonders, holding his husband, his beautiful wife, to him. I feel a little like I may. It isn't a bad feeling. He buries his face for a moment in Wei Ying's hair, fresh sweat, the light osmanthus scent of the oil Lan Wangji combed through it after they bathed last. Skin. Lan Wangji loves the parts of Wei Ying where his skin smell gathers and settles. The roots of his hair, the creases of his armpits, all those sensitive places between his beloved thighs, the backs of his knees. He is so alive in all those places. There is so much evidence of the process of him. Their breathing settles, slowly, into a matching rhythm. They rise and fall gently together. Wei Ying sighs, hums thoughtfully. Lan Wangji drags his fingers through Wei Ying's pubic hair, back and forth. Rubs come into his skin. He cups Wei Ying's soft cock, squeezes lightly the way Wei Ying likes. His cock always seems smaller, soft, not like Lan Wangji's. The differences between bodies are fascinating. Wei Ying had a different body once. Lan Wangji kissed it, but that was all, a stolen thing, guilt-laced. He remembers the way Wei Ying smiled into it. Thinks now that Wei Ying may not have known that he did so. He kisses the same way even now sometimes, startled by affection, melting slowly into something accommodating. He moves the same way, another face in the same tilt to the smile. Sweetheart, Wei Ying says, and it is something like a question. Lan Wangji acknowledges. Okay, Wei Ying says. That's good. I just had to check you were with me. He sounds dazed, half underwater, drifting the way he should be, but concerned still. Lan Wangji is doing a poor job then. He must be in this moment. He kisses Wei Ying's neck in apology, drags his tongue across it, bites. Wei Ying, who had begun to laugh at the kiss, lets the sound morph and break into a moan. Better. Lan Wangji presses his teeth in harder, tightens his jaw. A mark to last. Blood washes across his tongue, not much, but blooming and spreading itself. The billow of ink dropped into water. He breathes through his nose again, opens his eyes a slit to watch Wei Ying in the mirror again, to watch Wei Ying watching. He places his hand over Wei Ying's heart where a scar isn't. He digs his fingers in. He drops Wei Ying to the floor. Quick pressure to the backs of his knees, the release of Lan Wangji's hands from his body, is enough to fold him. He lands heavily on the gentling surface of the blanket, catches himself on his hands as he overbalances forward. His ponytail, loosened and made messy by Lan Wangji's tugging, falls over one shoulder. Lan Wangji considers the sprawl of him, the darkness of his eyes in the mirror, and lifts one foot, rests it against the swell of Wei Ying's ass, pushes, forces his hips down, grinds him into the blanket. Wei Ying rests his weight on his elbows, pants. His head wants to loll forward, but his shoulders strain as he fights to hold it up. He will truly find it difficult to keep watching himself like this, but he said he could do it, and so Lan Wangji will gladly make him. He slides his foot away, pushes it, again, between Wei Ying's legs, flexes his toes. Wei Ying is still soft, whines at the touch. His balls rest heavily against the overside of Lan Wangji's foot where it curves up to become ankle. Look at yourself, Lan Wangji says, with a veneer of disdain drawn over his admiration. Shameful posture. Can you not hold yourself up properly? He steps back, arranges himself, sinks to his knees with the precise fall and sweep of robes he would use in company. Folds his sleeve aside to pick up the jar of lubricant with the care he would use to serve tea or wine, and allows Wei Ying to wonder, visibly, if he was being told to push himself up or only to look at his state. When he decides on the former, Lan Wangji restrains him, hand on his thigh, holding him down. Ah, the insides of his thighs are even wetter than they appeared in the mirror. Sticky. Good. He slicks his fingers, takes too much of the paste, deliberate, so that the sound of forcing two fingers into weighing at once will be as obscene as possible. He tests his fingertips against Weiying's hole. It isn't altogether tight, but this will certainly be a stretch. He pushes. Weiying opens for him with a cry. One of his hands thuds audibly against the floor as he scrabbles for something to hold on to. He squeezes urgently around Lan Wangji's fingers, relaxes. Lan Wangji thrusts, thrusts, wet noises. Obscene, yes, as it should be. One more thing to make Weiying flush. A third finger, too soon, to make Weiying twist reflexively under him. He swipes cum from the inside of Weiying's thigh, takes more of the paste, pushes them both inside of Weiying at once.
So eager for this, Lan Wangji says.
He curls his fingers, strokes across Weiying's insides, exploring again as though this were new. Small sticky noises accompany each shift.
So wet. I called you shameless when we were young, but I had no idea how shameless you could be.
Only for you, Weiying mumbles. Only for you, Lan Chan, Lan husband, only...
Lan Wangji says. He twists his fingers, turning his hand. Weiying grabs at the blanket, clutches it. Lan Wangji's fingers in him can't have shifted from feeling like a tense fullness to an entirely easy one. But Lan Wangji suspects Weiying is getting hard again anyway. His response to just a little pain is fascinating.
Up, Lan Wangji tells him.
Pulls at Weiying's hip, a yank that drags him all the way onto Lan Wangji's fingers again. Lan Wangji watches the stretch of Weiying's rim. Under his own clothes, his cock is horribly sensitive. Each shift of fabric over it makes him want to curl himself forward around it, to press his forehead to the floor and get a hand under his robes and make it better. It's good. It's good to not do a thing about it. His own response to discomfort is perhaps as idiosyncratic as Weiying's. He holds himself poised. In the mirror, he cannot see the way his ears flush, and consequently, he looks very proper indeed. Weiying, though, Weiying, messier and closer to the polished surface. Lan Wangji can see the darkening of his cheeks. It is rare to make him blush so with acts. Generally, far more words than Lan Wangji has given him are required. But to see oneself, it truly has an effect, it seems. Lan Wangji pushes more lubricant into him, works it in, deeper. Weiying swallows hard, visible in the mirror, audible amidst the other sounds of sex. Four fingers and Weiying gives a strange, shivering sigh. His cock drips clear liquid from its tip, urgent in its interest now again. The insides of his thighs are only growing slicker. His whole body seems to tighten and relax as Lan Wangji strokes his thumb across the skin behind Weiying's balls. Prompted with a touch, Weiying pushes himself up onto his hands again as well, body off the ground, hands and knees as he promised. He looks shaky, feels shaky against and around Lan Wangji. Some frantic expression finds him as he looks at the way his cock hangs full and curved under him. And for a moment, Lan Wangji is ready to hear him call the game off, to twist away from the sight of himself and clutch at Lan Wangji instead. He is ready to soothe Weiying, take him to their bed or bring him to a bath, to feed him sweet things and kiss it better. But Weiying laughs, however unsteadily, rocks his body, pushing back, testing himself against the width of Lan Wangji's hand, still too much for him to take. But he does like to do that, test his luck. His feet flex as he shocks himself with that suggestion of how much wider he could, will be, stretched. Lan Wangji feels it where they're pressed to the sides of his thighs. His hair is trying to obscure his face, and Lan Wangji reaches forward, snags, with a little difficulty, one trailing piece of ribbon, uses it to pull until he can grasp the bulk of Weiying's hair, everything that's still loosely tied back, twists the ribbon a little tighter, awkward and improvised. It will have to do. He curls his fingers into these parts of Weiying, the inside, the outside. His hair is soft and thick. His body is life-hot. He is being good today, so good. He has sunk beyond the need to protest and needle. He has sunk beyond.
I can't, Gugu.
He is just watching. Whimpering, yes, biting the inside of his cheek, flushing deeply all down his throat. But watching. They have reached a place that is not quite what Lan Wangji expected. Any play at verbal humiliation is beginning to feel curiously superfluous. The significance of the position Wei Ying has allowed himself to be placed in, the weight of what they are doing, is so very present between them. He releases Wei Ying's hair a little reluctantly, taps a necessary question into the curve of his hip. Wei Ying nods, quick and eager, looks so mortified at his own eagerness that Lan Wangji doesn't remove his hand to continue until Wei Ying is nodded again, until he is sure it is the correct mortification. Lan Wangji gives him a smile in the mirror, a visible one, tilted, sharp. Feels Wei Ying shudder in response, sees the way he nearly ducks away from it, grabs at Wei Ying's hair once again and tugs it in warning. Releases it as Wei Ying steadies himself and undoes that effort by leaning forward and sliding his hand under Wei Ying, scraping one nail just lightly over a still puffy nipple. Wei Ying's body spasms. He goes down on one elbow, scrambles to push himself back up. Lan Wangji smiles again. He dips his eyes to Wei Ying's cock, pointed, making sure Wei Ying follows, making sure Wei Ying sees how he's dripping. Pre-cum, lubricant, traces of cum mixed into it. Wei Ying's stomach flutters, only just visible in the mirror, but felt. Incrementally, Wei Ying's body accepts him. They are, Lan Wangji thinks, nearly at the tipping point. He can nearly push. Wei Ying's eyes are turning liquid, becoming mirrors themselves, becoming winter lakes. His breathing is shallow, deepens only when Lan Wangji reminds him. Lan Wangji bows over him, though the angle is awkward, his elbow twisted in a way he knows better than to try and sustain. But he kneads Wei Ying's skin against his lips, kisses the curve of his spine, noses at it, breathes in Wei Ying, Wei Ying, Wei Ying.
Don't, Wei Ying mumbles. I'm a mess, don't. Lan Chan.
It's a surprise that he can still speak from the place he's drifted to. Even Wei Ying cannot talk through everything. Lan Wangji strokes his flank, his stomach, his chest. Touching his nipples is what does it, is the thing that makes tears start to spill. Such a small thing. But Wei Ying is wound so tight and his skin is so tender there, and Lan Wangji's knuckles are against his rim. Nearly there, nearly there.
This is the way I like you best,
Lan Wangji says, which is not true, but is not untrue either. Every way he can have Wei Ying, in or out of bed, is his favorite.
You see what you are. You are made for me to use like this.
Untrue, untrue. Just a little bit true, too, all the same. Wei Ying makes himself, over and over, into an instrument for others' use. He is a sword, a white-hot core, a right hand, a villain, a hero, a wall, a door. He has been a vessel for many things. Lan Wangji folds his thumb in against his palm. He spreads more lubricant into the hollow of it, over his knuckles, up his wrist. The jar is close to empty. Much of it is inside Wei Ying. Much of it coats the inside of his thighs. His pubic hair is utterly soaked. Lan Wangji sits back. He shifts to the side, one of Wei Ying's calves between his knees. He presses one kiss to the curve of Wei Ying's ass.
Do not stop watching, he says, and presses in.
They have done this once before. Wei Ying, half drunk and half laughing, loose-limbed and relaxed, and
having a spiritual experience, Lan Chan. Oh, fuck. You're touching. You know only Wen Ting has been this deep in me before.
Poor humor is one of his retreats, of course. But there was something raw and real under it. A hiccuping sob that became a laugh that became a sob. This feels the same, and it feels different. There is a different trembling tension in Wei Ying. To relax into the intensity of this stretch is something he must demand of himself. The process of it is visible on his face. Lan Wangji could not see his expression the first time, but he thinks it would have been different. His hand slips inside. Stretch and stretch, and then the sudden pull, the way Wei Ying's body drags his hand in all at once after that widest point has been passed. Wei Ying breathes in wet gasps. He is somehow, still watching. He did say he could do it. Lan Wangji bends to kiss his skin again, mouths at it as he slowly curls his fingers. Wei Ying's core is young, but it glows inside him, thrums against Lan Wangji's hand. The curl of his fingers brushes against the place where it lives, the place which Wei Ying had expected to remain hollow and dry and cracked forever. He still does not cultivate the sword, will not, but nor will his chi betray him after one song. His youth will not leave him so soon. The dull and dusty quality he once had has left him. He is as he should be. Lan Wangji cannot move his hand much, not yet. Wei Ying is clamped down on his wrist, struggling to adjust. But he can tilt his fist, a little motion like rubbing his knuckles over Wei Ying's cheek. But deep in him, his lower dantian, the delicate interior walls of his body. Lan Wangji aches. Denial is sweet and infuriating. He wants to rut down against Wei Ying's leg. He would come in moments. He holds his posture. He strokes his thumb over Wei Ying's obscenely stretched rim. "A shame that you cannot see this," he says. "How much of a mess you truly are." Wei Ying makes a strangled sound, unintelligible. He is, yes, crying properly now, heavily, a constant flow. The blotchiness of his face is apparent even in the reflection. "Wei Ying," Lan Wangji says, soft and sweeter than intended. "A question. There are so many ways to ask a question."
"Yours,"
Wei Ying manages.
"Your Wei Ying."
"My Wei Ying," Lan Wangji agrees.
The game has shifted again. The ground slides sometimes under them. That is all right. It is within parameters.
"Yours,"
Wei Ying says again. It is a wet gasp, half of it inhaled, the sound only comprehensible because Lan Wangji already knows what its proper shape would be.
"You are beautiful,"
Lan Wangji says, because he is helpless not to, now, with the mood as it is.
"My wife, was it? For me to take."
Wei Ying nods urgently. Lan Wangji strokes his hip, runs his palm back and forth over the lower curve of Wei Ying's spine, feels the responding arch of Wei Ying's body all around him. He had meant to soothe, but Wei Ying's movement shifts Lan Wangji's hand inside him, and that makes Wei Ying wail, an uncontrolled rising cry. There is a substantial wet patch on the blanket under him, pre-cum leaking and leaking in response to pressure, pleasure. Lan Wangji slides his hand down the outside of Wei Ying's thigh as Wei Ying pants for breath, up the messy inside. He cups Wei Ying's balls again, squeezes them, does not stroke Wei Ying's cock, but swipes his fingers over the head of it. Wei Ying's hips jerk and he cries out again, whines more quietly as Lan Wangji, slowly and deliberately, lifts his fingers to his own mouth. Licks the taste of Wei Ying from them. Wei Ying clenches, relaxes. The taste of him is so... Lan Wangji really is going to come. He is going to come. The taste and the sight and the smell of Wei Ying is so nearly enough to do it. The heat of Wei Ying around him. The shifting of his own robes across his cock is going to do the rest soon, soon. The fabric is wet now, making the drag rougher. He rocks his fist carefully inside Wei Ying, a more definite movement than before. Wei Ying opens so well. His face is crumpled with the magnitude of what Lan Wangji is giving him. Tears are dripping from his chin, sliding down the tense line of his throat. The expressions he makes in the face of pleasure can be quite like ones made in pain, even when no pain at all is involved. And just now, with his body stretched and overworked, all of his pleasure will certainly be edged. Lan Wangji, bowing reverently, touches Wei Ying's nipples again, only fingertips stroking, reminding of things already done. He spreads his broad palm on Wei Ying's stomach, so that Wei Ying's core is held between hand and hand. So Wei Ying is supported as he begins to tremble harder and harder, so that Lan Wangji will know when his body is close to giving out, collapsing down, will be prepared to move with him to not hurt him. Wei Ying's leg jerks, does not go out from under him, but twitches hard. Lan Wangji's robes bunch. Ah. He holds himself carefully together through the impact of his own pleasure, the heavy blow it lands against his navel. He feels that his fingers flex inside Wei Ying, but not too much, not too rough a movement. He is not by nature a collected person, and so he has had to learn to be. And so he can hold most of his mask through a great deal now. His thighs tense and shake, his stomach tightens. In the mirror his expression flickers, perhaps. It feels unreal that he can even notice such a thing, that sensory impressions can still hold meaning. He does not find it humiliating to see himself like this in truth, to watch himself come. But it is unaccustomed to have so much of his focus turned out beyond their two bodies, into a world where things like mirrors still exist. His vision blurs and clears, but it is only water, only a quick sting of it as his cock twitches weakly one more time. The sting of physical sensitivity, and not an emotional overflow. He finds one more jolt of release, quick and momentarily jarring, seeing Wei Ying's eyes are still half open, even now. Even now, he is being good. Lan Wangji does not reach for Wei Ying's cock. He will not need it. He just keeps moving his fist, fucking Wei Ying with his fist. Not exactly thrusting, but a definite back and forth which implies the possibility. Just keeps the palm of his other hand pressed to Wei Ying's stomach below the navel. Puts insistent pressure on him there, the way Wei Ying would be touching himself if he wasn't struggling to hold himself up. He always does this when he's pleased with how full he feels, or overwhelmed by it, which is generally the same thing. Presses to make himself more aware of the contours of that fullness. Presses and says something filthy about whatever it is that day. There are many versions. Lan Wangji feels dazed in a quiet way, a way that doesn't swallow him but pulses in him like background arousal, or like the tender aftermath of a headache. He does not try to disentangle himself from the feeling. He simply sits in it and uses the cues of Wei Ying's body to orient himself. Action, reaction, adjustment. Wei Ying goes down on his elbows, vanishes for a moment behind the tumble of his hair, and Lan Wangji gentles the slide of it, slows the tilt of his body, moves with it, keeps Wei Ying safe. Wei Ying, weight tip to the side, grasps blindly under himself, tugs at Lan Wangji's fingers. Not a warning, not a stop or even a slow down, but a request all the same. Yes, there are limits to silent communication, as there are to words. What is it? Lan Wangji asks, soft.
Hair,
Wei Ying mumbles.
Away from your face.
A nod. Wei Ying slides his own hand between Lan Wangji's and his stomach, takes over the pressure. Lan Wangji can feel the curl of his fingers, the grasping quality of the touch, in the moment before he obeys. Hair. The ruined ponytail. He leans very carefully, keeps his movements deliberate. His fingers, all the same, are trembling a little. They need Wei Ying, need to define themselves against the surface of him to become steady. The relief of finding his hair. He gathers it as well as he can, reaches no more than half of it. Wei Ying isn't really sobbing anymore in that heavy way, but he's making constant desperate sounds into the floor, struggling to lift his face, trying. Ah. Lan Wangji yanks, wrenches Wei Ying's head back for him to make him, let him see. A wild noise from Wei Ying at the sight of himself, strange and wounded and oh, there. His body is tightening down hard, is demanding, keeping Lan Wangji in place. Quick, uncontrolled jolts. He's coming. There he is.
There he is.
White dark eyes, a frantic pink smear of a mouth. He is consuming Lan Wangji. He has always been consuming Lan Wangji. The miracle of the two of them is that to consume and be consumed is not to be destroyed. He releases Wei Ying's hair slowly. He runs his knuckles along the line of Wei Ying's back, the arch of it convex as he curls himself forward to rest his forehead between his elbows. Wei Ying is making small closed-mouth noises, throat noises, breathing hard through his nose. To withdraw is difficult. It is always difficult. It is difficult to fuck Wei Ying and accept that it is over, that he must pull out and clean up and exist only inside his own skin again. Not sane, no, but he has never been sane, that is, he thinks. The lesson of the two of them is that suppression is the inferior method after all. One may be all wrong, too much, too strange, and use it well.
Feels,
Wei Ying says, a soft, displeased whine as Lan Wangji carefully separates their bodies. No other words follow. There is only the sound of bodies living, breathing, and small internal noises, and the shift of skin on cloth. It would be uncomfortable for him either way, to be kept too full, to be left empty. There is always an after, a place on the other side of sex, and neither of them are all that good at the transition. Not always. It is a part of why it is good to let things be too much. It earns them a particular kind of space in the after, to realign themselves. It is a difficult thing to give oneself, otherwise. Lan Wangji sighs, scatters kisses on Wei Ying's lower back, strokes his thumb over the loose place his hand has created between Wei Ying's legs, gentle and consoling.
Lan Chun, Wei Ying says eventually.
His voice is hushed, as though he isn't sure it will hold if he speaks normally. He stretches his spine, whines again. There is another quiet pause.
I feel like,
Wei Ying says, shivers,
like you're going to make a space in me that's just...
Lan Wangji curls his hands around Wei Ying's hips. He rubs his thumbs back and forth slowly.
Just there, all the time,
Wei Ying says.
Just, lunch, hun.
His throat clicks as he swallows.
I want,
he says.
I, all the time, I want.
Everything is sticky. Lan Wangji's hand, the one that was inside Wei Ying, glistens. His inner robe sticks uncomfortably to his skin. The mirror watches them. Wei Ying only says what he means in specific kinds of after. Only tries. Lan Wangji settles over him carefully, presses him down into the still more mess. He has stained his robes horribly after all. It feels correct to have done so. It feels necessary. They curl together on their sides, Wei Ying's back to his front. Wei Ying plays with Lan Wangji's hand, holds it between his own, pets it, turns it this way and that, curls and uncurls Lan Wangji's fingers for him. He is thinking, transparently, about the size of it, about the way it moved in him. Lan Wangji does not speak, precisely, but he gives Wei Ying soft, gently noises as he kisses his neck. He holds him, waits for him, keeps him close so that the imagined hollowness he's trying to name won't become the wrong kind, won't turn barren and aching in his mind. Wei Ying has been empty before. Lan Wangji has only learned about how that felt in fragments in the dark of night, learned in the ways Wei Ying cries out in his sleep, learned in stumbling confessions that slide often into begging, into,
fuck me full, give me...
Their fingers tangle against Wei Ying's stomach. Wei Ying squirms, but not urgently. His breathing isn't damp anymore. There is a small bathhouse, for the inner family only, and Lan Wangji is going to claim it for the two of them for what remains of the fading day. He does not particularly care what anyone else may think. He does not care to take into account the feelings of anyone who values Wei Ying less than he himself does. That is to say, anyone at all. He dresses Wei Ying in a single soft robe, strips himself methodically down to two layers. He leads Weying to the water, slides an arm around Weying's waist while he hisses at the feeling of moving his overworked body, kisses his hairline when he flushes to look at the mirror as they leave the room. A path between rustling bamboo, shielded from the rest of the mountain. A comb for tangled hair. Water in a basin, first, to clean their skin, emptied and refilled several times. Their cloths replaced more than once. Wei Ying laughs as Lan Wangji wipes snot and salt from his face, embarrassed and pleased. Still too spacey to deflect. He is not laughing anything off. His body simply has to make a sound and has chosen laughter. A pool to sink into. A natural hollow, but warmed. The cold springs are more healing, are better for cultivation. But the cloud recesses are not without comforts. His family are, after all, human, however reluctantly. In the water, Wei Ying is clingy. Seems improbably long-limbed sometimes, in the after. Wraps himself around Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji does not mind. The scale of this understatement is staggering, of course. But everything he feels, all of it is staggering. Ah, Wei Ying says when the daylight is faded, the sky evening white, when his hair is neatly braided, when Lan Wangji is clung back until they both began to remember how to be separate. I'm all right. Okay, hi. Wow. Understatement. Lan Wangji kisses him. Two bodies touching. They are Wei Ying and his Lan Chan. They have seen each other, seen themselves. Here is the after. They survive it. The end. Reader's notes. Okay, so I talk a lot about if the sex isn't necessary to your story, it shouldn't be there. And this is a really good example of a story that is ostensibly sex, but that's not what it's about at all. It's about the connection and the transformation of the connection, or the transformation in each of the individual people that the connection causes. So sex is the vehicle for that. And that's not at all to knock the stories where sex could be in its own chapter, sort of separated out from the rest of the narrative, but my favorite kind of character and relationship development happens physically as well as emotionally. So that's kind of what I mean when I talk about the sex being essential to the story. It has that same feel. So that can happen in stories where the sex is the plot, ostensibly, is that the kind of narrative structure of the whole story. But it can also happen where the sex is just part of the narrative structure. And so I'm extremely demisexual. I don't really get sex for sex sake, I guess. and I didn't really know what that was for a very long time until I was an adult. But now that I do know, it's really easy for me to see that in the stories that I'm drawn to and that I love. The ones that are the best for me are the ones that make that connection between two or more people and make it about the emotion of it, and not just the bodies. But the bodies is a crucial part of it. And that kind of, there's an art in that, in turning the body into a source and a outlet for emotions and for kind of catalytic change in yourself, in your spirit. Okay, so that was a lot of rambling, and I'm not sure I'm even going to leave all of this in. But if I do, I hope it sort of helps you think about this story and the beautiful way that it connects both really, 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 really amazing language, but also the character development and the relationship growth that feeds into the way their bodies work together, which feeds into the way that their minds work together. That just unspoken and spoken connection when Lan Wangji is thinking about how much silence can communicate, how much words can communicate, how much their bodies can communicate, was just so striking to me that when I read this, I was like, well, I'm podficking it immediately. And then I, of course, lost my recording spot for like a month and couldn't record it right away. But here I am, I'm doing it, and I hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks.